Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this Christmas Eve message comes to us from the reading in Luke chapter 2, which you just heard a minute ago, about the birth of Jesus and the visit of the shepherds, and especially verse 20, which reads as follows. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Thus far the text. My dear friends in Christ, I'm extremely grateful to God. He's given me the most wonderful gift. I used to be full of anxiety. I had guilt and the feeling of failure. I would end up in a severe place of disappointment quite often, but God changed all that. You see, God is gracious. He looked down at my efforts and realized I wasn't making the grade. I was falling short, and generally, I was making a mess of things. So in God's infinite wisdom, he caused that someone would invent the gift bag. I'm terrible at wrapping gifts. This is a wonderful thing. I needed this. I might not be the world's worst gift wrapper, but I'm in the running. Ask my wife. It makes me actually a little bit jealous when I see some of those other gifts out there. I see the abilities of some people and their ways of wrapping gifts. You look at the way they place the bow upon the gift, and it's exactly even, and it's put in just the right spot on the gift. When you look at the wrapping paper, there are no wrinkles. And if you turn it over to the bottom, the two sides come together and the patterns match up so perfectly, so well, that you almost can't see the seam. You know? Their tape lines are invisible. And the ends are folded and creased in such a way that it almost makes you feel like this gift is so well done, it belongs in the front of Macy's department store. You know? Well, bah humbug. I'm a little jealous of those people. It's a true art to be able to wrap gifts that way. I guess I really shouldn't be jealous because it's not really about the wrap, right? It's about what's inside. The gift is the thing, right? Now, to be sure, those that take their time and wrap gifts so nicely show that they're really putting in an effort. And they want you to remember this thing. What if we thought about this night that way? What if we thought about the entire Christmas story, the Nativity story, as God wrapping his greatest gift in the most perfect and blessed way? What if God is the greatest gift wrapper? Now, to be certain, it is indeed what is inside this gift that counts. Beneath the beautiful layers of this beautiful story, it is still the Savior that matters. You've heard the cliche said, Jesus is the reason for the season. And you might think that's a little schmarmy, right? I don't know if that's a real word, but I can use it, right? But there's a truth in it too. Because our focus throughout Christmas, and especially on this night, should be on the babe in the manger. The God in flesh. The Savior has come to us. There's a reason he's come to us. God had told both Mary and Joseph that they had to name him Jesus because that name means that he would save his people from their sins. Specifically, it means God saves. So Jesus must be at the center of our focus tonight, the center of our onlooking. But still, isn't there a wonderful wrapping around that? Doesn't the Christmas story come with it? All these different colors, all these different images, just the perfect way to encapsulate this most perfect and precious of gifts. So what I'd like you to do with me tonight is to sort of unwrap that gift a little bit and look at what God has done here. Just as there are different ways of wrapping gifts, so there are different ways of unwrapping gifts, right? I mean, there's the one way, which we tend to call like the 12-year-old boy way, you know, take gift, commence shredding. Right? Peace is everywhere. It's a big old mess. Everything goes everywhere. There's another way, though, and I've taken to calling this, and I named it after my brother-in-law. Right? It's the Randall method. Maybe you have somebody like this in your family, and they're the person who gets their gift, and they have to find each little tape, and they very carefully peel it back so as to not rip the paper, because they might use it again next year, which they never do, but they might. You know? That kind of careful unwrapping is kind of what we want to do with the Christmas story tonight. We want to unwrap it carefully and look at each part just a little bit. Not too long, just a little bit. And so where should we begin? Well, let's begin at the beginning of Luke 2, and he talks about that Caesar Augustus has issued a decree that he wanted to take a census, and that's all about money because he wants to tax people. And we get this very historical setting for this. This was the first that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And so God's setting us this perfect historical stage, and that's how he begins his wrapping of this gift. He shows us exactly when this takes place. But then he takes us and shows us the people involved, and it's Mary and Joseph. And Joseph is the one who counts, because it's because of him they have to go to Bethlehem, right? And so Joseph takes with him his betrothed Mary, and they go down to Bethlehem, the city of David, because he was of that line, so they could be registered, so they could be counted. Now, I know you've seen images, you've seen paintings of Joseph walking along, pulling this donkey with pregnant Mary on it as they make their way down from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It's about 80 miles, actually. Right? It's a long, long journey. And it's a wonderful, serene scene, isn't it? Almost pastoral. And it's great. But the important thing in all of that is Bethlehem. Because here's what God's doing. God is taking them to the place where the promise would be fulfilled. God is taking this story, this simple birth story of a child be born, and he's placing it into the much larger, grand story of man's salvation, of the salvation of all humanity. Because he causes it to happen in Bethlehem. And he had promised hundreds of years before this, in Micah 5, verse 2, that Bethlehem was going to be the place. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are of old, from ancient times. God begins his perfect wrapping of this gift of Jesus, by setting it with this perfect prophecy picture. By causing us to remember that this is a promise fulfilled. God had said it was going to take place here. God's a great gift wrapper, you know. He continues wrapping his gift just a little bit more here. The wrapping continues as they get to Bethlehem. And when they get to Bethlehem, the city is overwhelmed with visitors because of Caesar Augustus, right? Because everybody has to come there to be registered. And so by the time Joseph and Mary get there, there's no room in the inn. Now, I know you all have seen kids in pageants and stuff goes, no, no, no. Somebody gets to play the innkeeper and tell them no, right? Yeah. That's not actually in the Bible, all right? But it does say there's no room in the inn. Okay. And so they have to sleep in a stable and be in this other place, this kind of dirty, dank place, you know? This little dingy place, a stable where animals are normally kept. And wouldn't you know it? And that night when they're there and they're in the stable, that's when the time comes for the baby to be born. And Jesus is born in the stable, and Mary takes him and wraps him in cloths and places him in a manger. Now, it all sounds very peaceful and serene, right? But do you know what is actually happening here? They're in a stable, the place of animals. And she's placing Jesus, baby Jesus, into a trough, right? Into the place where they feed the animals. That's what she's doing. Now, I know you know this part of the story, but I don't want you to brush past it too quickly. Because God, in his perfect wrapping of the story, is trying to teach you something very deep here. It is one thing to say, and a true thing to say, that God loved you enough to become man, and he did. He loved you enough to take on human flesh. The almighty creator of the universe, who's almighty, all-knowing, present everywhere, chooses to be located himself and restrict himself to this flesh. This 7 pounds, 3 ounces flesh. Now, that's not in the Bible either. I'm making that up, right? But that's what he does. And not just restricted into that flesh, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in baby form. But wouldn't you expect that if the Almighty Creator, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is going to be born, that he should be born to kings and queens on earth? Shouldn't his first crib be a handcrafted wooden bassinet with purple silk blankets? I mean, it's God. But it's not. It's a trough, a manger. But God has purpose in that. God wants you to know the lengths he will go to in his love for you. That he would not only just come to earth, but he would humble himself to be born in this dark and dingy place. That's how much God loves you. It isn't just that he comes to earth, but he comes and he humiliates himself. He humbles himself on your behalf. And God wraps the story with that, that you might know just how much he loves you. Let's continue looking at this package. Let's move on outside of town a little bit. Outside of town, there are these guys doing what they do every night, watching their sheep. Just everyday Joes doing their every night job. And they thought this was going to be like any other night, but they didn't know that this wasn't like any other night. They found out pretty quickly, right? Suddenly this angel shows up. And they're afraid, because that's what happens when angels show up. If you've read any of your Bible, you know that angels show up, people get afraid. Right? And this angel shows up, and he says, "Fear not." Why? Because I bring you the most amazing news. Today, in the city of David, a Savior is born to you. And he is Christ the Lord. And here's how you're going to know him. Here's how you're going to recognize him. You will go and you'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. In an unusual place for a baby. And then, as if one angel weren't enough, suddenly the sky is filled with all the heavenly hosts. They begin singing to the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest and peace to men on whom his favor rests. And they sing this song, and now God is wrapping his story with joy and song and angels, and it's all very colorful, and it's all so perfect. And it all surrounds this most perfect of gifts, this most perfect of presents. God is a very good gift wrapper. From manger to Bethlehem, from angels to shepherds to songs, all of this comes together to form this most perfect present. This most perfect story. So then we'll have to ask ourselves, why this way? God forms this most beautiful story, this most beautiful present, so that the story would be remembered. So that the story would be told. Have you ever had such a great story you can't wait to share it with somebody else? You ever read such a good book? Seen such a good movie? Oh, everybody should see this. That's this story. The Nativity story. Your Savior story. God orchestrates it. He puts it together. It is God that causes Bethlehem to be the place. It is God that causes the manger to be the place. It is God that causes the shepherds to be the first to hear. It is God that causes the angels. And it is God that writes the story. And he writes it so beautifully. And he writes it so well. That it's a story that must be told. And it must be told to you. And you must hear. And you must know that this baby, this is your Savior. To him be the glory, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.